Hello, this is Dr. Flavio Guzman. I'm the editor of the Psychopharmacology Institute. After we published a presentation on the rationale for the use of prazosin for PTSD, some readers wrote us to let us know that prescribing prazosin may be actually conflicting with the recent VA guideline. In short, what the VA guideline says is that for nightmares associated with PTSD, there is insufficient evidence to recommend for or against the use of prazosin as monotherapy or as augmentation therapy. The video presentation I'm referring to is by Dr. David Osser. He's associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and an attending psychiatrist at the Brockton Division of the VA Boston Healthcare System. We talked with Dr. Osser to hear his opinion on the guideline. More specifically, he touches on these topics: why some PTSD patients are reluctant to psychotherapy, why he still recommends prazosin for PTSD, even after one unpublished negative study, a potential relationship between hypertension and response to prazosin, and what to do if your patient is already taking an antihypertensive medication. So let's hear Dr. Osser.
First recommendation that was struck me was the recommendation that psychotherapy is the treatment of choice over all medications. They felt that the medication evidence base was unimpressive, and they were much more impressed with things like cognitive processing therapy, desensitization therapy, and so forth. And I would make this comment about that: working with lots of veterans with PTSD, they are so often extremely avoidant of dealing with, talking about, thinking about their traumas. They will not tolerate and refuse to tolerate any kind of psychotherapy. They want medication, and they want you to try something. And even if you send them to those therapies, they may not last through one meeting of it. They'll come out of that meeting with their nightmares much worse for the next several nights, and they're just not going back. So the people who are doing well and reported in the literature where psychotherapy works are a very select group of nice PTSD victims who can tolerate the psychotherapy and complete it. That's not a typical population necessarily. Many of them cannot tolerate it or won't tolerate it. So we have to see whether we have medication that's useful. And the second issue is, what do they say about the medications? Well, I agree with their finding that the data on the SSRIs and other antidepressants is pretty unimpressive. The effect sizes are low, and indeed most of them are no good for sleep problems. They may even activate them. But the part that I really have a problem with is they put prazosin under not recommended. And the reason is, they said that there are unpublished negative studies which make them highly suspicious. Even though there are four positive published studies, they're all small, so they consider this unpublished negative one that I talked about in my lecture to be so damning that they're willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater for the product. Now, I have experience in hundreds of patients that I've treated with prazosin, where I regularly and continually see it to be highly effective, something I do not see with the SSRIs. I also have colleagues from around the country that I've consulted with. I have a friend in California in the VA system there who continues to want to consult with me about how thrilled she is with the great results she's getting from prazosin, something she discovered on her own before even meeting me. But when we met each other and shared experiences, we've continued to stay in touch. So she also has treated hundreds of patients and continues to have this very positive experience. And furthermore, I have a colleague in the Tufts healthcare system in the Boston area who works exclusively in the private sector, primarily with women with sexual trauma, but a variety of other non-military trauma cases. And after hearing my lecture, she started using prazosin in that population. And she continually indicates what great results she's having. And I featured her in one of my courses that I put on to talk about her cases that she treats in Tufts. And she had a case series of the most peculiar and interesting, remarkable kinds of trauma that produced a syndrome of PTSD, and for which prazosin proved dramatically effective. So I think clinical experience, while I have appropriate skepticism about it, and should not be relied on by any means exclusively as your means for decision-making in psychopharmacology, it nevertheless is important after taking into account your best analysis of the evidence base. Your experience may either confirm, deny, or add to what the evidence says. And it's up to you, the clinician, once you have a clear understanding of the evidence base, to decide how to factor in your clinical experience. And I factor it in as a strong positive, supporting the four positive studies that are in the evidence base. And furthermore, I have heard about that unpublished negative study, which continues to be unpublished, but I hear from authors in it that they're continuing to analyze their data and try to look for predictors to salvage something positive they can say about it. That they have found that patients who have pre-existing high blood pressure, that predicts good response to prazosin. So I don't know if that'll wind up in the final publication, which I'm sure will come. This study will be published eventually, and it's unfair to reject the drug just because this study isn't published yet. That experience with the high blood pressure very much resonates with my experience, where I see a great many patients who have high blood pressure and PTSD. It's very common. It's in fact a barrier often when I start the prazosin, because they may get hypotensive in the early doses of prazosin, and it's due to the fact they're on two other antihypertensives for treating their blood pressure. So what I need to do is first be aware of that fact from the outset and be prepared at the earliest sign of any hypotension to taper off one and maybe more than one, if they're on more than one, of the antihypertensives, so I can make room for my prazosin trial. And that often results in success in completing the prazosin trial. I do that in collaboration with the patient's internist who's prescribing the antihypertensives. They help me decide which one should be tapered first, what rate of tapering, how frequently we should check blood pressure, and so on. So it's a collaboration to carry that out. And it's a collaboration I frequently have to do. So I'm not surprised that the high blood pressure people, those are maybe the most clear-cut cases of hyperadrenaline activity, both peripherally and centrally, which is the hallmark of PTSD. So maybe it's the ones out there that don't have high blood pressure, that really don't have the high adrenaline effect in the brain that the prazosin is supposed to be counteracting.
That was Dr. David Usher on the use of prazosin for PTSD. Premium members have access to his complete video presentation on the psychopharmacology of PTSD, including what to do if your patient has not improved after first-line options. If you're a premium member of the Psychopharmacology Institute, you can earn up to 30 CME credits per year. To learn more about premium membership, you can go to psychopharmacologyinstitute.com/premium, or you can just Google Psychopharmacology Institute Premium Membership. Thank you for listening.